Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Nation Villain, where it's going down tonight, guys. Tonight's topic is why do women cheat? That's interesting. I want to know why women cheat, Gidget. What's up? Can you tell me why women cheat? Sister Gidget, are you there?
Yes, sir. And I just want you to know, DJ Black Caesar, I am not the authority on that, but I will do my best to try to accommodate you and answer your question. And Happy New Year to you, and how are you this evening?
Hey, I'm fine, man. Hey, check it out, guys. I'm going to tell you what. I just bought a brand new phone, and I was on the trying to get it set up, and I was on the phone waiting for them to come on for 2 hours. And then I had to call you, so I hung up on them. But, hey, man, I'm trying to get my new phone set up. I'm going to go into 2013 with a smile on my face and with my phone working right.
Praise be to Allah. Okay. Well, I would like to greet my listening audience as well as my distinguished panel in our greeting words of peace. We say it in Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am.
Thank you. And Happy New Year to everyone.
Happy New Year to you too,
Happy
ma'am.
New Year
Happy New Year to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Well, tonight, this is my first show of the year, and it's going to be a little different tonight because, actually, I am removing myself from the host seat, and the show will be hosted tonight by my beloved brother, Brother Albert Muhammad, out of Youngstown, Ohio. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Albert.
Wa alaykum salam, Sister Gidget.
Okay, you put me out of a job tonight.
No, sister, we're going to always have you working. There's no doubt about it. And it's just an honor and a pleasure to be on with you once again. I want to extend the greetings to my family, believers, the non-believers, listeners, and the greeting words of peace and paradise of As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum
salam.
Salam, sir.
Okay, so let me quarterback this thing. We have a lot of people on the show, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to call their name, and I'm going to let them come down front and center and introduce themselves and tell us a little bit about themselves. Some of them are returning visitors, and well, not visitors, because everybody that comes on this show is family. So some of them are returning family members, and some of them are new. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves because we have a very large panel tonight. And I'm going to start off with my beloved dear friend, Brother Derek D.C. Clark, who is a renowned up-and-coming poeter.
And
yes,
sir.
Who has
That's
a
right.
book that he recently published. So come down front and center, soldier, and introduce yourself.
As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu
alaykum. Time to fit in. My name is Derek Clark. I am a poet, and I will be opening, I hope, with a nice poem to start the show. I may not participate all the way through, but I will be there. And for those of you who want to know, I do have a book out called Poems of Passion, and you can find it on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and XLibris.com, and for reasonable prices at that.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Derek. And next, we're going to have my distinguished host tonight, Brother Albert. Soldier, come down front and center.
As-salamu alaykum. Once again, I just want to humbly introduce myself. I am Brother Albert Muhammad. As I stated, originally out of Muhammad's Mosque number 25, currently in Muhammad's Mosque number 18. That's in Cleveland, Ohio. So I just wanted to get that out there because the last time I didn't. But just looking at it. Enjoy the show, sister. That's it. That's it. Sister Gidget?
I think Sister Gidget may have run away.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Come on, sister. Come on, sister. Come on back. Help us out.
Yeah, she's on. Maybe something's wrong with her phone.
It's a possibility.
Well, who's hosting the show? Go ahead and take it away. Take it away, brother. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Well, as we're going to continue to go down the line and introduce the panelists and the guests, and next up, my beloved brother out of Paterson, New Jersey, Brother Roosevelt, front and center.
Yes, sir. I'm from Lakin family. My name is Brother Roosevelt
Muhammad.
From Paterson, New Jersey, Muhammad Mosque 25 from North, Paterson Study Group. Happy New Year's, and just happy to be here and be part of this show. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, we got two special panelists. I'm going to let the sisters, Sister Patricia front and center.
Oh, you forgot to be, brother. Brother Ivan.
Yes, sir.
Brother Ivan? No, I ain't forgot you. I ain't forgot you.
It's okay, Sister
Patricia.
As-salamu alaykum.
Well,
this is Sister Patricia, also from Cleveland, Ohio, Mosque number 18. And, I've been in the nation for 22 years, and thank you very much for inviting me to the show.
Praise be to Allah. And Brother Ivan.
Yes, sir. Brother Ivan from Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's a pleasure. It's all mine. I'm always humbled by the presence of the believers, and I'm just looking forward to tonight's show.
Yes, sir. And do we have, is that Brother Derek? Did I forget?
Brother Daniel.
Brother Daniel. Yes, sir. I'm sorry, big brother.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Daniel Muhammad from Mas Maryam. I've been in the Nation of Islam going on 23 years, January 22nd.
Oh, praise to Allah. And I think last but not least,
I don't know what happened. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, Sister Gibby, we proceeded on, and I think the last and final was Sister Melanie, front and center.
Yes, sir. Sister Melanie Muhammad calling, and I'm from Cleveland, Ohio here. It's very cold, something like 20 degrees here, but I'm honored to be on the show, and thank you for inviting me.
Praise be to Allah. Well, I'm humbly going to have to ask everybody to bear with me. It's my first time co-hosting or trying to host the show. Sister Gidget Lightweight put it on me. But she's going to help me out with this thing. She's going to walk with me with this thing here. So, Sister Gidget. Yes, sir. You had the brother, I think it's DC, that would open the show with a poem.
Yes.
Okay.
This poem is called Another Man's Woman. I know that it may be wrong. Yes. I know that it may be wrong, but she's too good to let go. She has everything one man could want and enough left over for more. Her heart belongs to the man she loves. Her sensuality she gives to me. I listen to what she desires as I make love to her with my thoughts and words. I think of her every day and all she means to me. How can I tell her how I feel, afraid it would scare her away? I do not wish to break them up, nor make their life a mess. I will give her what she needs to make her feel whole again. I'm in love with another man's woman. This I can't deny. I give her all that he cannot just by being by her side. He doesn't know how lucky he is to have one such as she. I'll love this other man's woman until I make her mine.
Wow.
Wow. You got my vote.
Okay, I'm sorry. I can't help but ask, DC.
Yes, ma'am.
What inspired that poem, I wonder?
Just the thought that women do things when they are not getting it at home. I just happened to be available at the time, and I wrote about a woman that needed my special needs.
Yes, sir. I understand. Okay, well, I'm going to turn it over now to Brother Albert. Brother Albert, you're the host tonight, so go for it.
Yes, ma'am.
Before you go over, Brother Albert, let me state I must end tonight for myself. I will listen to the replay on internet, but I have another appointment that I have to keep. But it was a pleasure dealing with you all. Happy New Year to you all. And may Allah be.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Thank you, Derek, yes, and we'll have you back again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, the show must go on.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, once again, in the name of the Lord, and one God, you more praise to do. I thank Sister Gidget for giving us this opportunity. And I'm going to try to explain how this subject actually became about. Approximately 2 weeks ago, we was on the show, and we discussed the issue, why do men cheat? And we had, you know, the opportunity to give our views and opinions on why do men cheat. And I thought it would be a good idea to hear from the sisters. Why do women cheat? And so, therefore, Sister Gidget, along with Sister Melody and Sister Patricia, has gave us the honor to sit on the panel and address this question for us. So I'm just going to start off with Sister Melody.
Sir?
Can you help give us some sort of idea why do women cheat?
Yes, sir. Two words: situations and circumstances.
Okay.
And like Sister Gidget, I'm not an authority on why women cheat, but I know that women, they long for men who are protectors, who can secure them. And we're taught by the Honorable Miss Louis Farrakhan that when women don't feel secure, women are made to feel secure, and when they don't, they actually look for security. So it's not that they intend to cheat, but they're almost driven to find security.
Okay. Yes, sir. Why do women cheat?
I'm sorry, did you say Sister Patricia?
Yes, ma'am. Sister Patricia, you there?
I didn't hear you. I agree with Sister Mahoney, and I want to state a disclaimer as well. I am not an authority on these subjects as well, but I believe women cheat because they're lacking something. They're missing something. There's a void somewhere in their life, and like Sister Mahoney said, it's almost like women are driven to find something to fill that void, and if they don't go to God and let Him fill that void,
elsewhere, wherever we can. Okay. Sister Gidget.
Oh,
why
man,
do women cheat?
Time already?
Why do women
oh,
cheat, Sister Gidget?
Okay. Well, you know, I'm not an authority, but I have to be blatantly honest, because anybody who knows me know that's how I am. I'm gonna give it to you straight. I'm not an authority, but I can speak from my own personal experience, and not giving you the details. But what I will share with you is that, you know, when we don't have the knowledge of self, and when we have not identified our value and our worth, our behavior and our lack of knowledge will throw us into a behavior that is other than self. So not knowing that is the basic foundation for anything that we do in error. In my particular situation, it was an unfulfillment there, rather than having the common sense to either eliminate the situation or sit down and work the situation out, then I went outside to, you know, have my needs met. And it's not about sex. It's about the comforting and the consolation that a woman gets from a man. And like Sister Melanie said, the need to feel secure. And when you're in a situation, oftentimes, and I'm also coming from the standpoint of being a marriage counselor for 26 years, what I've heard other sisters say, it also comes from a standpoint of, you know, not being secure in your home. And sometimes it just builds up and builds up till you have to get some kind of release, some kind of joy or some kind of pleasure to carry you on. And that's because you don't know how to effectively communicate and deal with issues. So I'm going to say that's the primary reason.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you do to a lot. Brother Derek, any one of the brothers?
Yes,
they
sir.
They open right now.
Yes, sir.
I have a question.
Oh, Brother Derek, go ahead.
Okay, one thing, please. I'm sorry. I don't know about everybody else, but I'm getting the voices mixed up. So if you would, when you brothers get ready to ask a question, could you please identify who you are?
This is Brother Ivan. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum. Okay. My question is this, and it's a little different.
because I think it's very important that we talk about this, because I think that when we talk about both sides, it'll help us talk about why men cheat, and then when we talk about women cheat, I think we have something to build on to improve the relations between men and women, particularly in the Nation of Islam, FY and MGT. So my question, here's what I've noticed and what I've observed, though. Why do you sisters think, and either one of you can, all you can answer, why do you think that it seems like that when sisters are actually caught in a compromising situation, if you will, why does it seem like there's somewhat of an excuse, or it's almost somewhat dismissed, and it's not as looked upon as bad as it when a man does it, when it comes to the sisters? And then also it seems like, because sisters are not used to being on this side of the question, why is it such a touchy subject with sisters?
Anybody want to answer? Okay, I'll start it off. Brother Ivan, you know, we just had this conversation.
Well,
so
yeah.
I'm going to repeat myself one more again. You know, we have to realize that we live in a society that is not created to coincide with our nature. And oftentimes what happens is that a man is glorified in having multiple sexual partners or multiple women or whatever, and then the woman is looked down upon. And in a twisted, sadistic kind of way, it's a covering for the woman that, oh, you know, it doesn't, you know, it's not such a big deal when a woman does it. But really and truly, that's really under the auspices of the Nation of Islam. Because Elijah Muhammad teaches us that there's no such thing as a no good woman. A no good woman is made no good by a no good man. However, outside of the Nation of Islam, she becomes a slut, a whore, trashy, whatever. So it's not necessarily that it's smiled upon, but inside the Nation of Islam, the FOI, one of the first things that they're taught is to protect the MGT. And so I think the brothers are very guarded about what they say about the MGT, but they are very different about their opinions of the lost found who participate in the same thing. But in my opinion, well, it's not an opinion, it's a matter of fact, it's no different. It's not better if the woman cheats and the man doesn't. It's still infidelity. It's still fornication. It's still adultery. It's not something that is approved of. It's not an acceptable behavior. And so, you know, I think that depending on the environment in which we are most familiar with inside the Nation of Islam, you will very seldom hear the negativity, but in the street, you will hear the negativity. You know, you will hear her being called other than what she is, and, you know, how men will talk about her behind her back. But that is not so frequent with the FOI. And I think that's where it comes from, Brother Ivan.
Okay.
Sister Patricia, can you help us out? With Brother Ivan's question. I like that one.
Okay, well, my thoughts on that question are, you know, when I was told the subject of the show, Why Women Cheat, I didn't think about women. I thought about a woman of the world. Because as MGT, we're taught how to take care of our husband. And if we're not being taken care of, we're supposed to communicate with our spouses. And so if we communicate, then it really shouldn't happen in a Muslim household, I'll say that. Now, out in the world, maybe some of you, I don't know. but in the world, you know, it's easy to cheat. You could be at work, and a brother, and I think a lot of men are very intuitive as far as when they see women and if they're in pain or if they, you know, men can make women smile. They make women laugh, and if someone is depressed about their home life or something, it's easy for a man to make a woman laugh. So it begins like that and continues on. And the sister may not even realize that she's cheating, but even conversation is cheating. Not necessary. It doesn't necessarily have to be the sex act. You know, conversation. It's all infidelity. That's my thought.
Sister Melody.
Yes, sir. First of all, yes, sir, I want to say that there's no justification for women cheating. I just want to put that out there because the brother want to say, why is it looked upon as acceptable when it's not? And I'll be honest with you. Women, we could be married, but we looking at another man just to be looking because he looked good and something to look at, but we discreet about it. Men, you hear the phrase all the time, all men are dogs. And that's not the case, but that's a pretty common phrase to say. But men, they put it out there like they want to be with other people. Women can be discreet about it. There's no justification in it. But it's not acceptable. It's just discretion. But it's not cheating, but it's cheating, if you get what I'm saying.
Yes, ma'am.
Hmm?
Okay, Brother Albert, I'm sorry. We have a caller that wants to answer a question. I'm going to bring her mic on live. Area code 510, assalamu alaikum, your mic is live.
Welcome, Flaw, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Praise be to Allah, to Michael family.
Who is speaking to?
I want to respond to the why do women cheat. As the sister before me just said, there is no justification. The number one answer is because she's weak. And we all have our weak moments and weak periods. But, you know, another perspective is I missed the call on the brothers, but I'm sure this probably came up in the idea that men have higher libidos or desire or crave sexual intimacy more. And some women are right along with the brothers.
Sister, can you identify yourself for us, please?
No, sir. This is an anonymous caller. If you don't know my voice, I ain't telling.
Okay, no problem. Well, it's a pleasure having you call in, Miss Anomalous. Okay, Miss Anomalous, it's a pleasure, sister. I thank you so much. Sincerely speaking. Anomalous, I like that one.
Thank you, sister.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we know who it is. We know who it is. That's our beloved sister.
Okay.
I'll tell y'all later.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, brother, any one of the brothers have a question for sisters?
I have a comment. My name is Brother Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm gonna say this. You know, when I look back when I was out in the world, I knew this one individual who was doing the things that she was doing. And I said this, I said, why do men cheat? Learned that from her parents. Those type of ways. And, you know, was one of the sisters said how in the world, how we used to talk about that woman behind their back. And I've, and myself in my days of my foolishness, I did the same darn gone thing.
Mm-hmm.
But see, one thing about me back then, I was slick as grease at the time.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Okay.
So you say.
Right.
And also, before I close, two wrongs don't make a right.
Amen.
Yes. So, like,
I'm just curious. Do we get Brother Roosevelt on the phone? Is he here?
Yes, I am. I'm here, sister.
He's coming to Brother Roosevelt.
Well, so I don't know if it's tied in there, but I just want to ask a question because I want to know, does age matter, right? And if does age matter if the brother is younger or the brother may be older? And if it does, what's the age gap that will make you want to be in a relationship or you might find that the relationship to be a little, does age matter? Like we all said, like being secure. Is that one of the things that will cause a female to maybe want to, go outside of marriage? Or because to me, it seems like it's no difference from when a man's cheating and from a woman's cheating. I really don't find too much of a difference.
Does age matter?
Yeah, does age matter? Yes, does age matter, or does it, in a relationship? Maybe it might not be with cheating, but I'm looking at, when we ask the question, why does a woman cheat? And we say, I heard some things about security, maybe because, she's looking for something that she's not getting in the relationship. But I'm saying, I want to get more deep into, we got a service. I want to get more deep into why the female, what's the solution to it of us not having these things occur?
Can you kind of rephrase it? Because if you're saying age, I'm sure age does not matter. However, a woman doesn't want to be with a man that's significantly younger because there's a maturity level factor there. We're taught that men mature slower than women. So in a man being mature, we're taught by the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan that he has to maintain her physically, mentally, spiritually, financially. So that comes, all those lessons come with maturity and come with age.
Right.
So
what I'm hearing about security, I'm saying, because there are some cases that women find out later on, because, sometimes when we're not in, especially when we're coming from out in the world and we're not far coming into the teachings, because we have viewers out there that's probably not in the nation, that don't know what our process and how we go about things, because I'm looking at the point of when we're in a relationship, is there something that we can do to help these problems not to take place, to make a strong marriage, to make a marriage stronger?
Is there something? Who can do? Go ahead, sir. Yes, sir.
Is that Sister Melody? Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and Brother Roosevelt. I correct me if I'm wrong. I think what I'm hearing Brother Roosevelt asking is, when you're talking age, some people get married and they find they may marry somebody younger. And because the person is younger, inexperienced, like you said, Sister Melody, it may cause the female to pull back, so to speak, because she's not getting the security in the things that she may feel that she needs. And he's, because of his age, he may not be able to provide her with the development, the spiritually, mentally, physically, whatever it is that she may need. So I think that's what I'm hearing him ask. And for the most part, even if for those who are outside of the world, I guess it's something doing your courtship, because within the Nation of Islam, we do have a courtship process.
That's right.
During your courtship process, these are the things that you might want to consider before you actually, excuse me, I'm losing my voice, before you actually tie the knot, so to speak. And if you're not in a nation, and by the way, this is a general subject, so it does apply to anyone that may not even be in a nation. And if you're interested, you can always look up your local study group or your local mosque in your city and inquire, you know, attend the study group sessions, and you can get a little more information on how we do things in regards to our process. However, in your courtship process, these are some of the things that you might want to address. This way, it's all up front from the beginning. So a brother marries somebody 5 years younger, or a sister marries somebody 10 years younger, 2 or 3 years down the line, she can't come back, or she could, but I mean, it really, to me, women, it was shit for her to come back and complain now, because
right.
That's something that she went over. That's just what
thank
I
you. You gotta forgive me. You gotta forgive me. It's my first time, so I'm a little nervous. But thank you, brother. That's what I was aiming at.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we have another question from the audience, and I'm going to go ahead and open up their line, Brother Albert. I think I know who this is. This is my beloved little brother, Hakeem Rashid Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Black God. How are you?
God is good. God is good. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Black man.
Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Yes, sir. It's not necessarily a question, but I guess you can say it is. Before I came into the nation, and even in my beginning process, when I was living, you know, being just with that dead mindset, oftentimes I would say that my cheating was fueled by my inability to be loyal. So I automatically assumed that my mate would throw the possibility of her cheating. This may sound really crazy, so I would cheat just so if something happened, I could say, well, the whole time, you done your thing, but I was doing mine too. And going through things in the past, being with people, and you may have experienced or seen the infidelities with friends or whomever, cousins, aunties, mother, whomever, you have this thing in your mind that says, well, anybody, whoever you find, there's a possibility going to cheat. So it kind of, let me make it personal. I would use it as a tool to say, I might as well do my thing, because I know that you're going to do your, you know, she's going to do her thing. Would you agree with that statement? Would you agree with what I'm saying? I guess that a lot of people cheat because they're so filed to where they automatically assume that their mate is cheating.
Are you asking that of the brothers or the sisters?
Right.
Oh, man,
right.
It's for brothers and sisters. Brothers
also. Oh, okay.
Go ahead,
Brother Albert. I'm being quiet as possible.
This is Brother Albert, and I'm going to strive to the best of my ability, family, to try to address your question or your statement. From the Nation of Islam perspective, from the way I see it, with just being in the nation over the last 20-some-odd years, I'm not going to just go and cheat because she cheat.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? I can't even justify that. I can't even justify that, because the whole objective to what we're trying to do is to create resolutions or solutions overall. This way, we can find some sort of way to fix these issues that we have, whether you're in or out of the nation. But as you stated, I'm going to do my thing, you do your thing. That's the mindset. That's the mentality that's out there now. That's the mentality we're trying to address. So through our process and through our, you know, teachings and things of that nature, it helps us strive to overcome these difficulties and things of that nature. So if she's cheating, I want to do an internal look. First, I got to find out.
Right.
Because as Sister Melody said it, they slick with this. So they can look at a brother, you don't know they're looking. Right into my eyes or out of the box.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Vice versa. So if I discover this, you know, I have to look internally and find out what I'm not doing that I did do. Because as I stated when we did Why Do Men Cheat, what you do to get a woman is what you do to keep her. See? So you might have to look back if you want to fix the problem. But if you're not interested in fixing the problem, then 9 times out of 10, that thought pattern will supersede, I'm going to do my thing. And she's going to do her thing. And that's be it. And as I think Sister Patricia stated, in communication, where there is no communication, it's done. So cheating is senseless because you might as well move on.
Right.
Because it's done, period. If you're not communicating and if you're not trying to establish a stern and strong communication, it's done. Some people have been in marriages for 20 years. And I had this thing. I was at an event in Jersey with Brother Roosevelt, and I watched how some of my brothers and sisters from the, what do you call it? Brother Roosevelt, help me out. The Colombian family.
The Latin community?
The Latin community. I seen elders. This is New Year Eve night. 50 years old, 60, 70 years old, holding on to each other, showing me that there's a bond, there's still a communication, there's still a commitment in that relationship.
Let me put some little clarity. Give me one second, beloved, that I'm speaking past tense. I'm definitely speaking past tense because once I learned how to fall in love with self, it made it easy to be faithful. So, I mean, the whole fornication, adultery, that doesn't even exist. That's non-existent. I mean, I have a beautiful wife, that doesn't even exist.
Praise be to God. Yes, sir. Yep. Praise be to God.
If you don't mind, can I make a comment right quick about that?
Sure.
You know, I was thinking about what Brother Rashid said. I still call him Rashid. I know his name is Hakeem, but I call him Rashid. I was thinking about what he was saying. And, you know, we really have to get to the basis and the origin, excuse me, of where all of this really comes from. And you can't avoid it. You can try to dance around it if you want to. But you have to understand that in this society, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, is that we have been stripped of our nature.
Right.
So we are stripped of the very essence of what we are supposed to be, of what Allah created us to be. So therefore, the divine order of family is disrupted. And so we have, you know, thanks to Willie Lynch and his technique, we have this division that has come up in our behavior because we are so detached from our nature. And so we actually have a hatred that is going on between the black man and the black woman. And it's not that hate where I hate you, I want to kill you, but it's that hate of what we have become, but we don't know how to get back to who we really are. And so we have a society that somewhat condones infidelity, and we hate that, but we just gravitate to it because we go along to get along. And so, you know, when we have these relationships and we're insecure and we say, well, you know, she's cheating, I might as well do my thing. If she's not cheating, she's going to cheat, so I'm going to go ahead and do my thing. And that is a false sense of security for us, you know, because we feel like we don't want to get so emotionally involved and we don't want to fall in love and we don't want to commit because it's safer for us emotionally because of that fear. And we have to realize that we have been stripped of what the natural order of things is supposed to be. And until we get back to that, we're going to always have dysfunctional relationships.
Praise
be to Allah. That's right. Something like Brother Ivan. I remember Minister Rasul, and this is dealing with why women cheat, but I want to kind of address it from some of the responsibility from the brothers, if I can, just give me a second. I remember Minister Rasul on one of the single calls was talking about when, first of all, he said that, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, and so does Minister Farrakhan, that women are not adulterous by nature. And so I remember when Minister Rasul was talking about with his first wife, I guess, his ex-wife now, him and his wife were having problems at the time. And he went to the minister with a laundry list of things that he said his wife had done during the course of their marriage. And so the minister read the list of things, according to Minister Rasul, Mr. Farrakhan read the list of things that the brother said his wife had done. And so the minister looked at him and said, yes, brother. He said, I'm sure that you're telling the truth about what it is that you're saying your wife has done. He said, but brother, it still happened on your watch.
Yes.
Now, here's my question to the sisters. When you hear those kind of things like that, and if in fact, you know, I want to talk about MGT, because I heard a sister say once that MGT don't cheat. Well, we know that's not true. All MG don't cheat, but we know that some MGT have cheated, just like FOI have cheated. But my point is, when what responsibility, let me ask, what do you think that the brothers can do to help you not even entertain the idea of going outside of him in your marriage?
Well, brother, this is Sister Patricia. I like I mentioned earlier, communication is so important. Even if you ask your wife, well, baby, what is it that you need? What can I do to help you? And hopefully she will tell you what it is that she needs. You know, we all yearn sometimes. We yearn for a touch or a word. And some men just don't know what it is that the wife needs. So, what's wrong with asking?
And see, I asked that because I remember, and then Minister Ishmael said something really important a couple of weeks ago. And the reason I asked that question, because I know a lot of the responsibility is still on the brothers, even if the sister's in the wrong. Because Minister Ishmael said this. He said, the majority of the problems in the relationships rest on the shoulders of the man. Now, he didn't say that the majority of the problems are caused by the man. Even if the sister is the one who's causing the most problems, it's still on the shoulders of the man. So that's why I'm asking that question in that manner like that. And so because of that, that's why I want to know what advice or what could you sisters offer for the listening audience, if you will.
Okay, well, I guess I'll go. Brother Ivan, that's a loaded question. Let me just say this. What my interpretation is, and I'm not saying this is law, I've heard Minister Farrakhan say that as well, that it lies on the shoulders of the man. And what I believe that he's referencing to is the duty and the responsibility that a man has to sustain a woman and maintain a woman. A lot of times, brothers get caught up in being the breadwinner, so to speak. They think that money is a substitute for every other entity that a woman needs. And so oftentimes brothers spend a lot of time trying to accommodate women financially, you know, to please them, but that's not the whole pie, so to speak. It's only a very small portion. And so when he says that it happened on your watch, that means that there should have been some sign or some kind of symptom that you should have seen that the woman had some kind of unfulfillment. Because, you know, you have all kinds of people in the world. Now, can you marry a woman who is going to cheat, whether you're fulfilling her needs or not? Absolutely you can. Can you predict human behavior? No, you cannot. But what you can do is observe and see how a woman is responding to you. Does she appear to be dissatisfied? Does she appear to be anxious? Is she always complaining? And so instead of you going out there trying to make more money, thinking that that is the answer, sometimes what she says has a different meaning. So that's why I go back to that communication is key. You know, a lot of times we don't have conversations. A lot of brothers don't bring up conversations. Very seldom does a brother even ask a sister if she's sexually satisfied, because his ego is not going to let him go there, because he think he's doing his thing. So, you know, a lot of times we a brother will not ask, you know, honey, are you happy? You think she's happy because she got a home, she got a car, she got a fur, she got a diamond, she don't have to work, she can go shopping any day of the week, and you think that she's fulfilled. But how many times do brothers really ask the question, honey, are you happy? You know, is there anything I need to do different? Or is there anything that you're unhappy about? And sit down and talk to me, because we fail to communicate, and that's because we don't have the practice of communicating. We didn't see it in our homes, so therefore we don't carry it over in our adult and personal relationships. So, again, it falls on communication. It's about us being able to feel free to come to you. But sometimes we have to deal with the ego. And if we are the type of women that we don't want to crush your ego, we want to make you think that everything you're doing is fine, and then you putting it down and it's all good, then we'll just say, well, I'll let him think what he thinks, and I'll just go over here and see brother so-and-so, you know, when he's away. And, you know, that should not ever happen. I do not agree, and I know a lot of people don't verbalize this. I don't agree with Minister Farrakhan when he says that, you know, it's on the brother. I really don't. And the reason why I don't is because human behavior is not predictable. You can marry a sister. She can make herself appear to be an angel. And, you know, angels are singing when she walk in the floor, but underneath that headpiece, she could be a mess. And
that's
so
right.
That's why I always advise that before you marry somebody, make sure that the person that you are marrying is your best friend. If they cannot demonstrate that level of duty to you in friendship, they are not going to demonstrate that duty to you in marriage. It's not going to happen. You know, we try to follow the doctrine of, you know, doing a 90-day courtship and then let's do the engagement and let's get married. Well, sometimes you have to dig a little deeper to get to the core of what you're getting. And if you don't take that time, you'll be in divorce court in a couple of years, if not sooner.
Some Lego.
Yeah.
Well, what an exegesis that was, Sister Goodness. But let me say this,
Brother Albert, I'm sorry. We're getting some interference. Everybody, if you're not talking and you have a lot of background noise, please mute your phone. If you have your computers on, I know you might be fascinated by your own voice. Please cut it down, because we're getting a lot of feedback and we can hear all the background noise and it doesn't sound good. We can't hear people clearly. And if you have a question, please press 1 on your keypad. For all of the people who are in the chat room, I will try to get to your questions. I'm going to call this brother out because he's been talking to me the whole time we've been in the chat room. Brother Mustafa Allah, call in 646-716-5971. I know you know the number. Okay, go ahead, Brother Albert.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. I just want to say this in regards to the statement you made. When you said that, you said that when the brother said that the minister said it falls on the shoulders of the brother when it's all said and done, right? And when you explained it, you explained it very well in regards to being visual, being observant, you know, noticing, being able to determine, you know, knowing your wife or your Courtney. So you may not catch it. You can't predict human nature. You can't. But I believe that was part of what the minister was really saying when he made that statement in regards to his falling on the brother's shoulder. And brother presented a list of things that he thought his wife wasn't doing. As you said, sister, why didn't you notice it? See? Why didn't you catch it? Why wasn't you observant? As opposed to thinking she has all this and all that, and she's fine. That's all I want to say in regards to what the minister might have was referring to when you said you didn't agree with that part, because that's the only thing I could basically get out of him when he said that, though I didn't hear the whole lecture.
Well, let me clarify. When I said I didn't agree when he says that all of the burden of the failed marriage or the dissatisfaction falls on the brother, what I'm saying is that we are born with free will. Allah doesn't even compel us to believe. So if Allah doesn't even compel us to believe, he surely doesn't compel us to commit to marriage. But it's something that we vow to do. What is a Muslim? One who submits his will to do the will of Allah. And if your will is not there to do the duty of a wife, then there's nothing anybody can do about that. And the brother can be observant, but if she is deceptive in her actions and make it appear as though she is satisfied and she has a husband who is willing to communicate, who is willing to sit down and talk and work it out, and she still decides to be deceptive, there's nothing else that that brother can do. He's done everything. And so sometimes you have women who are so emotionally detached. I'm one of those women. I don't fall hard in love. And the only thing I can come up with in my past is that I grew up in a house with my father and 10 men, and I had to be a logical thinker. I didn't have room to be emotional, nor did I have anyone to relate to show an emotional side. So I took on the behaviors of my brothers and my father, saying that, hey, I can't be around here sniffling, snotting, and crying. I got to address the issue, deal with it, resolve it, and move on. And that's how I live my life, because I'm conditioned that way. So sometimes environment plays a big part, because if we are conditioned to be deceptive, if you grow up in a house with a mother who had many boyfriends and she played all of them, and one was her car note money and one was her light bill money and one was her rent money, and this was her behavior with men, then you will find yourself, if you don't separate yourself from that behavior, doing the same thing. So we are all victims of our environment. So that's what I meant. If a sister is not willing to submit her will to be a wife, there's nothing a good husband can do.
Can I say something about that? Like, you know what? I want to say something about that, because in the past, you know, I've had a discussion many, many times with some sisters where when they say that you just made my point that I've always argued, because it's always been said that if a man does what he's supposed to do, the sisters will automatically follow him, and I've always disagreed with that. And so you're the first sister that I've ever heard say that, what you just said about a sister automatically falling in place if the man is doing everything he's supposed to do. And I've seen examples in and out of the nation where that's not true. Brothers doing everything like you said, willing to do everything, willing, open to any suggestion to do better. And it don't matter what he does. A sister still does what she does. You're the first sister in my whole 18 years of the Nation of Islam ever heard say that, ever.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm that sister. I'm the one always out there.
Praise be to Allah. I do want to say this, Sister Gidget and brother. And I have heard the minister say this to the brothers, and he said it in general meetings. When you have gotten to the point, brother, what you have done, as you said, Sister Gidget and brother just said, all that you think you could have done, and this woman is not pleased, then, as one brother said, it is what it is. You can't hold on to something that's not there. You see what I'm saying?
Move around.
So
I never heard it.
Excuse me?
Well, Brother Minister Farrakhan said it's just best to walk away, even
right.
though
right.
I think he said that when he said before. before you put your hands on a woman, walk away. So that means he said even if she makes you angry, the worst thing a FOI could do is put his hands on a woman. So when you get that angry, and of course, it's only a few things I can think that can make a brother that angry, and that's like coming home, catching Brother JoJo in his bed or something like that. He still needs to have enough control. He still needs to rise above emotion enough where he can walk away and not physically damage that sister because she's already
damaged. Let me be more clear about what I was saying because we are on the air in regards to that statement. The minister teaches us Allah hates divorce.
Yes.
Is that right? Allah hates divorce. However,
right.
If you're a brother that you have done all that you have done, that you can do, and if you at a point to where you can't do no more for this woman, and no matter what you do, it's not going to be satisfying to her. What is the next thing to do?
Leave.
That's it.
What is it? Hit me out, family. That's my point. It's because Allah hates divorce, but however, you know, misery loves company.
Well, let me say this. And we're going to take a question off the line next. Let me say this about that, Brother Albert and Brother Ivan. Allah surely hates divorce. But in order for you to get divorced, you have to first be married.
Go ahead.
And so where does marriage begin? Marriage does not begin at the altar. Marriage begins in the heart of the man and the woman who have already vowed to be together, who have already vowed duty in love and in deed. So therefore, if you're not married in spirit and in mind and in heart and in body and in soul before you get to the altar, then you haven't gotten married. You've had a ceremony. And see, that's where we get it twisted. Because everybody who has a ceremony and exchange vows they're not married. Marriage takes place long before you go to the altar. Marriage really takes place when you say, yes, I will marry you. Because at that point is when you're supposed to have a made-up mind that you're going to be a wife and that you're going to be a husband and that you're going to forsake all others and that you're going to go through it through sickness and health, through rich or through poor. That's when you make that decision. You just allow others to bear witness to the decision that you've already made. So, yes, Allah does hate divorce, but you have to be married first.
Absolutely.
And we're going to take a question right quick. I don't want this caller to hold too long. Area code 507, your mic is open. Area code 507, you had a question? Going once? Going twice?
What are the next one?
Hello, hello, Assalamu alaikum.
Can you hear me? Wa alaikum salam.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Gidget. This is Brother Mustafa.
Got you to call in.
Yes, yes, what a great topic tonight that we're having. And this is such a broad topic and a broad subject. It seems like it's kind of hard to nail it down to one thing, even though that was a very excellent analogy that you gave us just a few minutes ago about being married before you even get to the altar. But what I wanted to share was that it just seems, and maybe this ties in a little bit, it just seems that, like, in addition to what everyone has said, it just seems like what Sister Gidget just said a few minutes ago, the mind and the heart, everything really just should be really clean and pure as best as you can in order to even get to a point of getting married. And that was another point that I wanted to add, was that the dating process, it just seems like a lot has to take place before you even get to the wedding part of the marriage. So that's what I wanted to share, and I'll take my question off. Yeah.
thank you for calling in, Brother Mustafa. One love to you, my dear brother. He's a faithful
Great.
Listener, and I really appreciate you, and Happy New Year to you, sir.
Praise be to Allah.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question.
I'm going to shut up because we got Sister Patricia and Sister Melanie on here, and I feel like I've been dominating the answers. And
no.
I'm going to be quiet.
I have a question. I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
For the brothers. If a woman is being maintained on all the levels that there is to maintain her, she really has no need to look elsewhere. So my question is, do brothers feel like that they are inadequate in terms of maintaining on all levels? Because you can have that brother that's the provider, that's the security, but he might not be as spiritual when a woman actually needs that. She needs spirituality from a man because we're taught to look for the God in the man. And if he has that, then she's falling all over that. So is it that men think that they cannot maintain her on all levels, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, all levels that there is to maintain a woman?
Can I say something to that? This is Brother Ivy.
Please do.
In my humble opinion, I think that it's a process because you're never going to know a person or know everything about a person right away. So even in particular areas, you know, all those areas that you mentioned, you know, there's a basic nature that every woman has, and then there's an individual nature. And the man has to learn both if he's going to adequately accommodate her in the way that you're talking about. But it's a process, though. It's a learning thing. I don't think it's possible that you can know how to do all that stuff right away. It takes years. I remember Minister Farrakhan and kind of going back to what Sister Gizzy was talking about a few minutes ago about being married. I remember in one of Minister Farrakhan's lectures called The Keys to a Successful Marriage, at the beginning of the lecture, he asked, how many of you all are married? And everybody
you mean addressing
the audience,
the married couples,
married,
brother.
Raised their hand. He said, well, at the end of this lecture, I'm going to ask that question again. And at the end of the lecture, nobody raised their hand. And so, and I'm saying that to say this: that what you're talking about, beloved, is when a man is able to do all those things, no man, in my humble opinion, knows right away how to do all that stuff. He's always preparing. I remember he said this. Minister Farrakhan said, "How can a man compete?" He said, "The woman is the only creature in creation," and I've always thought about this. He said that the woman is the only creature, creation, that when she came here, everything was already here. How can a man compete with that? We can't. But that's what keeps us striving. See, you know what I'm saying? So it's a learning process. We're never going to get it completely right all at one time. We might get it all right, some of it right over here. But if we get enough of it right, maybe you'll stay.
Okay, well, when the...
to that Brother Ivan, because, you know, just like anything else, sister, faith and the understanding of these teachings, and particularly, it comes in degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Minister Farrakhan has been our leader teacher in God for 57 years, but he is still evolving. He's gotten greater and greater and greater and greater as the years have gone on. And so it is a growing process. And you have to understand this. When you get married, if you have everything and you don't have to work towards anything, then what is there to keep you there? What is there to keep you interested? What is there to keep you evolving if you've got everything? You have to grow together. So it's like, you know, no man is going to fulfill you completely. But then wherever he falls short is where you become the helpmeet.
Praise
be to Allah.
That's right.
Okay, and I'm sorry, we got one more question, Brother Albert, from the audience.
Mm-hmm.
I think I know who that is. DC, you're on the line?
Yes, I finished my commitment. I was working and doing volunteer work over at a retirement home, and I finished it. But I was listening to the whole show while I was doing the work over there. And, I decided to come in, and I have two homes that would fit this very well. And one, specifically, that one, if you give me the chance, I'll read it for you right now. And this one is called The More We Talk. And it goes, the more we talk, the less we say about that which means the most to us, like what we see or what we hear or that which we conceive to be true. We tend to forget that we were granted free will by our Maker in thought and deed, but it wasn't meant to be used to hurt, embarrass, or deceive. And yet the more we talk, the less we understand that we are all the same in the wants and desires, the love and the pain that we all experience daily. We witness this in our governments and also in our homes. We argue, fuss, and fight without discussion or thought. Thus, the more we talk, the less we say, the more likely we'll become, like the others who have come and gone before us, extinct.
Yes, sir. Thank you, DJ. Right. You going to come back and read the other one for us before we go?
Yes, I can end the show with that one, I think. And I think it would have justification as well. Okay.
Okay. Well, 5 minutes before the show is over, we'll let you read it. Okay, go ahead, Brother Albert.
Oh, praise the God. This got me smiling from ear to ear. I'm just enjoying this atmosphere right now, truly.
I'm enjoying this because most of the stuff that was answered was in my head, and I just wanted you. And you said something too. You said something key, Sister Gidget, when you said about growing together, the learning process. It's a learning thing, and when two people are in awe with each other, like brother Jamil mentioned last week. He said, we're to make a man and female to make each other a better Muslim. So it's a growing process that we have to endure with each other. You know, sometimes we lose that focus, and that's when the problems occur.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum. You know, I want to say also, you know, a point I want to make, what the minister said, and he was addressing the married couples back in 1996, when he also, what Brother Ivan also had said about how many of you are married. When the believers raised their hand, he said there shouldn't be one hand raised up. He said, are you striving to be married?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Wow. Now, in any event, Sister Gidget, I was as I was sitting listening to, you know, how we went over the issue of why do women cheat, I have another question for each sister on the panel, and I think I'm going to start with Sister Gidget on this one.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Because, see, with such a sister like Sister Gidget, first of all, let me ask this question. All the sisters on the panel, you guys are single, is that right?
Yes,
sir. Yes,
I'm single.
Hello,
yes,
somebody.
Sir.
Oh, praise be to Allah. So the brothers out there that's listening, no.
Yes, sir.
FOI, because he's in
yes,
the now. It's for FOI.
Yes, sir.
He's available. All right. Put that out there. They did that to us, brother. If you was on it last time, they did it to us. I had to return the favor on that one. And in advance, Sister Gidget, I want you to tell the listening audience, their brothers, what type of man. Or how did you say it? would be good for Sister Gidget, or Sister Gidget is looking for in a FOI.
No, you didn't. Wow.
I want to know.
Well, let me tell you, in all honesty, I knew you were going to ask me that question, and when I was made aware that you were going to throw me to the wolves, I had to really turn a mirror on myself and really do an analysis, because I have been so far removed from the thought of actually getting married, and it's because of who I am, and I think a lot of sisters fail to really analyze themselves and realize that, of course, we all have the desire to be married, but are we qualified to be a wife? And right. So when I had to look at my own reality to me tells me that I am not a wife, not yet. Not to say I'm not striving, but I just don't believe I'm there yet. So when you ask me what kind of man, what kind of FOI, and I said to you, I said he has to be that special kind of brother. And that's because I have a different demeanor, I think, than what the ideal MGT is. I don't know what all brothers are looking for, so certainly I'm not categorizing anyone, but from my experience, you know, they have this list or this idea of what they think an MGT is. And the one mm-hmm. thing that I've always done, and the one thing that I will always continue to do, is I'm going to hold on to my individuality, and I'm not going to become a doctrine MGT. So I'm not going to be a walking Quran. I'm not going to be a walking study guide. I'm not going to be a walking Bible or anything like that, because my spirituality comes to me in a different way. A lot of people study. My spirituality comes to me through prayer. I have a personal relationship with Allah. And so the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us to accept our own and be ourselves. He don't right. say come a storybook MGT. And so with Allah's creation of me, he took the time to create me, to create my individuality, and that is who I have to keep my duty to, as well as keeping my duty to Allah. So I have to be who I am. And what I have found amongst the FOI, a lot of times, and not all FOI, I'm going to say that again, is that they have this idea of what an MGT is supposed to be. I am very direct. I've been known to cuss you up under the table, even though I'm getting better all praises due to Allah. I am very assertive. I'm one of those sisters. I'm down in the trenches. I'm a grassroots type of person. I don't believe in big eyes and little U's. And I believe in being a teammate and a partner with my husband. I believe in being a helpmeet. I'm not one of those so-called independent sisters, but I do believe that we as women have to step up and really be helpmeets to our husbands. And the reason why I say that is because nobody wants a punk for a man. Nobody does. But you have to understand, and I'm telling this to all my sisters, and I hope y'all listening, this white man is not playing. So when he has decided that he wants to take control, then he makes it in a way where the black man cannot be a producer and he cannot be a creator of his own destiny, because he is in control. And so we have to learn how to play the game. So if you are an executive and you find a good brother that loves you, respects you, one you can trust, one you can confide in, one that's your friend, I don't care if you're working at McDonald's. If you're making $100,000 a year and he making $20,000, $100,000 a year, sister, take some time invest in that brother once you can identify that he is a producer. If he got a plan, be his help me, help him obtain his goal so then later on he can sit you down. I'm not telling nobody to take care of no man. I'm just telling you that they are stacking up the odds against black men out here, and that is the reality. We turn up our noses. We got our heads so high in the air that we are drowned in a drizzle of rain because brothers are not, you know, they don't have a Mercedes. They don't have diamond rings. They don't have homes and things of that nature. Yes, I understand that's the way it's supposed to be. But when you are living in a society that is your enemy and that has been your enemy and going to be your enemy, you have to learn to play this white man's game and beat him at it. And we have to pull our brothers up so that they can raise us up because the nation can rise no higher than this woman.
Say that.
Okay, brother. So now y'all heard it. Y'all heard what kind of sister Gidget is. So y'all know now. Ain't no misunderstanding. If you come
okay,
at Sister Gidget.
I'm exiting the show now. So I'm like, y'all.
Well, look, y'all already know. Now, for those who heard. So now, Sister Patricia, Sister Melody.
Yes, sir.
Y'all want to help us out with this?
Yes, sir. Yes. I like what Sister Gidget said. You first have to know, MGT first have to know who she is. But my ideal, you know, FOI is that spiritual brother, that strong brother, and he has to be secure with himself and allows me to be myself. So, because I'm very active in the nation, and he has to be as well.
Can I ask a question? See, I hear sisters say that now, and here's I always jump on it when I hear people say that.
Say
because
what?
Because he has to be active in the nation like I am.
Well,
what does that mean?
Well, I understand.
You
got to
be careful when you say that now. What do you mean by that when you say that?
Well, yes, sir. Well, he has to be in the nation and working the program on the nation's program and, you know, be involved in the nation.
Okay, and let me tell you why I said that. Here in the city where I live in Tulsa, the MGT here in Tulsa made the mistake, and I'm going to say it was a mistake, and challenged the FOI with the final call, the selling of the final call. And so, now I'm going to say this now, and I'm talking about even down to the fact of beating the concrete. And so when they did that, you know, one of the sisters made a statement, well, you know, people will be more inclined to purchase the final call from the sisters just because we're sisters. Now, I agree with that. But they put the challenge out to the brothers that they could outsell the brothers. So I came with this question. And I'm making a point, and that's what followed me. I came with this question. I said, so are you sisters saying that you can outsell the brothers? I said, so when are you willing to get out here in 100-degree weather? Are you willing to get out here in the rain? Are you willing to get out here in the snow? Are you willing to get out here? You following me?
Yes, sir.
Are you willing to beat the concrete? Because in reality, you can't do that. So
right.
If you can't do that, you can't outsell the brothers with the final call. You can't do it. And so... When it was all said and done, I'm saying this, when we say he has to be active like me, we're not going to be active in the same capacity in the nation.
Okay. Well, I'm not talking about that in the same capacity. You're active. Brothers are active how they sell final calls, and sisters are active how they sell final calls, and it does not have to be the same. So disregard that because it does not have to be.
No. So, look, can I chime in for a second?
I was just making a point.
Good point.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Sister Melody, and I'm not trying to speak for Sister Melody. It's just once again, what I got from what I thought I heard her say, she identified the type of sister that she is. And I did reference to FOI. So, correct me if I'm wrong, when she said being active as she is, because I know a little bit about the sister, I work with the sister, she's diligent when it comes to pushing the program. And as you said, brother and sister, MGT and brother and FOI, they have, you know, different avenues or different ways of going about it. But when you're out there, when you're pushing the program, if you're selling Find the Calls, if you're in the community, I mean, if you're doing what it takes to show that sister, I love the nation as much as you do, sister, even more so, I would consider that person being active.
Absolutely.
On a level where he may meet her expectations. So for all the brothers out there that's listening, now you know what Sister Melody looking for. FOI would be pleasing
next
to her. Let me say it that way.
Thank you,
that
Brother Albert.
Yes, ma'am.
Excuse me.
Oh. Sister Patricia, you still there, family?
Excuse me. Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay. So tell us, Sister Patricia. We've been waiting to hear from you since you've been so quiet.
So the question is, what kind of, what was the question?
The question was, what type of special brother or FOI would be pleasing to you?
All
if
right,
he presented
well,
himself in a courtship manner.
Well, let me let me say that, you know, the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad are right and exact. And the MGT have a role and the FOI have a role. And I am an MGT. And I'm looking for an FOI who is a fruit. The fruit is the best, is that right?
That's right.
Constantly
right.
Training, conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. And an MGT
right.
is the best as well. So that's what I'm looking for.
You're looking for the best.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, on the road, do you have any questions for the sisters on that subject?
No, I'm just listening, and I get what the sister's saying. They want to, like the sister, I forgot the sister's name, but basically she was, I got what she's saying when she said that she want a brother who's working, you know, like when you had a discussion the other day, Brother Alvin, we talked about the MGT, not just somebody who in the nation, but somebody who's working the program. And it's very important that we understand that because a lot of times we get into relationships and we just end it because, you know, he said he's the FOI, she said he's the MDT, but we're not compatible. You know, we got to make sure that, you know, the person is compatible because a lot of times he might not want what I want and the interest is not there and then we in a relationship and it don't last long. So I think that's important as well.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
May
I say something
yes,
right quick? You know, I heard what Brother Ivan said, and, you know, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just, you know, lost or something. But I wanna put this out to my sister and anybody that disagree with me, please call in and maybe you can shed some light on what I'm about to say. But, you know, that behavior really irks me. It really bothers me when we as MGT feel that we have to challenge the FOI. Now, if it's all in fun, if we having a bean soup contest, okay, that's fine. But then I don't think that we need to step outside of our place and challenge others or challenge our husbands because marriage and a relationship is not a competition. We are teammates. So if you have a husband who is selling the Final Call, you know, make sure his suit is ready. Make sure his shirt is ironed. Make sure, you know, his shoes is ready. You know, make sure his meal is ready so he can go out there and endure whatever he has to endure. But to be in competition, that really, really bothers me because that is so worldly. That is not who the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has you know, taught us to be. That's not what he teaches today. And I'm not feeling that at all, because when we become in opposition of one another, when the relationship becomes a competition, then at the end of the day, somebody has to lose. And so when you have that frame of mind, whether it's selling final calls or whether it's challenging someone's authority in the house, that sets a bad environment for a marriage and a relationship. So we always want to be found encouraging and supporting our brothers and not ever in competition with them, but working with them.
May I say something, please?
Praise be to Allah.
And I'm right behind you, Brother Ivan.
Okay.
Oh, this is D.C.
Okay.
First off, I am not of the nation. I am outside of it. I have true faith in what the nation does for the community. One thing I've always stated, and this Sister Gidget stated in her roundabout way, is that if you do not love yourself, you cannot love anybody else, thus do for them. And then secondly, I state this about the ladies on the panel. They are strong black women. And as we know throughout history, strong black women are the foundation upon which the black family has been built and prospers, because they are the teachers, they are the people that solve your problems, they are the people that take your problems upon themselves and help you do what you need to do to get ahead in life and to keep up the strength of the entire black family, to include the husband in this instance. Lastly, I'd like to say this, is that we are, as human beings, have our frailties. We have our misgivings. And these are the things that have a tendency to draw upon the relationship or the marriage. These are the things. We are individuals. We will always be individuals. And as individuals, it would cause a clash amongst us. One will say, I am not getting that which I feel I need. The other would say, am I not doing what you need? The thing of it is that a marriage or a relationship is built primarily upon a compromise of these two issues or these two individuals to meet the same common goal. And from what I'm listening, I'm thinking that's exactly what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was saying when he said the things that he has said. Stop me if I'm wrong.
No, sir. Absolutely.
All right.
Okay.
You know, I want to add what was a point that Sister Gidget made about the, getting the shirts and things ready. I recall when Sister Ava was saying her book, Real Love, when her and Brother Darius, I wouldn't say got into a confrontation, but that kind of what she didn't do, the duty that she was obligated to do to keep his shirts and things up, one of the sisters who advised her how to do it, and all praise is due to Allah that she did it to keep that man's shirts, his suits, and things up to par, especially going out in the community with the Final Call newspaper.
Yes, sir.
And also, you know, my experience with I had to do my own thing, you know, because she refused to do it, but I had the iron. Keep my shirts ironed and clean, my suits in the cleaners and whatnot, and keep my shoes shined when I go out in the field with that Final Call newspaper.
Yeah, this is Brother Roosevelt. I was listening to one time with Brother Tony, and he said that when his wife did, one time he was he borrowed some money from his wife, and what he did was he went out there. He was you know, selling some shirts at a concert, you know, trying to make some money for his family. And she seen the potential in him. So when she gave him the money, because she knew that to help him, like we said, help me, But what he turned around and did was he came back and gave her back the money that he bought and the money that he made, and that just helped him, seeing that, you know, that the relationship that they had, that she seen the potential in him, and he recognized that, and it just made their marriage much stronger, that, you know, whatever they had to go through, that they know that it was a team effort. And I think that was so beautiful that, you know, they can identify that by working together. And I think that we need to focus on that as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Let me ask, excuse me. Can I ask something also?
Yeah.
You know, also, with hearing the Sister Patricia and Sister Melody, what they say they want out the brothers, you know, they also have a love for this mission, and that man must also have a love for that mission.
That's right.
And that's what I'm seeing in both Sister Melody and Sister Patricia.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Well, all right. That's the love for that
mission.
Praise the Lord. Yep. Sister Patricia,
you said it. It says, believe a man for a believing woman, a believing woman for a believing man.
That's right. You can't have a non-believing man or a non-believing woman.
Well, you know, you don't have somebody that's working side by side with you in this work, and if they don't believe in this work, you're going to have a problem.
That's right.
And I'm overly devoted, but that's just where Allah has me. So any man that deals with me, he's going to have to deal with my nation. And if he can't deal with my nation in its entirety, then that's just too bad. I'm sorry, FOI. Original salute about faith.
Boy, when she lowers her head and cards.
So y'all know what y'all looking at if you're going down the path. Any one of these sisters that's on this panel. And just to say, we don't just give the MGT away, so FOI going to fight for what's theirs. The right.
That's right.
The right. So
Brother Albert.
We put them out there, but we just ain't giving them away now.
Brother Albert.
Go ahead now.
Brother Albert, let me say this. For the brother's side, me personally, I'm not available for anybody that don't have love for this mission and don't back me when I'm out there on that field. Don't make a big thing about listening to other folks. Why he always out there with that Final Call newspaper?
Right. That's why you get an MGT, brother. You ain't got that problem.
Yes, sir.
Unless he's not active.
That's right.
If he's not active, then you must have some issues.
Right. We're going to have some serious problems.
Yeah, if he's not active, all praises be to Allah. Okay. Any one of the other brothers have anything for the sisters? I mean, you know, it's an open
field. I do. Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam.
I want to ask the sisters a question. Anyone can elaborate, answer this question. Anyone that was out in the world, when they, you know, in the days of their foolishness, did they ever have that tendency to have their so-called friends to pull them away, to sway them into certain things they have no business doing?
You mean prior to the nation?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I was actually born in the nation. This is Sister Melanie, so I can't even answer that.
Yes, ma'am.
So, next sister.
Sister Patricia, where you at? Man, you
I'm
know
here.
You talk.
Somebody.
Don't make me pull you out there now. Man.
Somebody hiding.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's, you know, when I was young, that's what they call peer pressure.
Right.
And I guess I was a little headstrong when I was young. When I was really young, I did cut class because some other people were cutting class, but not when it came down to moral situations or, you know, right and wrong. No, I did what I thought I should do. Oh, I guess it's my turn. Well,
come on, kids.
I have been in the Nation of Islam since the day I was born. And I'm going to tell you that my reality is that it wasn't until I stepped outside of the nation at a very young age, I was 18 or whatever, that I just had a curiosity about what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was speaking of. You know, I didn't understand, you know, because people around me, white people, you know, everybody was so friendly and, you know,
right.
I didn't understand that white people were devils and, you know, so until I stepped out and started facing some of the things that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, I've had for a very long time, a new appreciation for these teachings, because when I involve myself in worldly things, it came back to bite me. And so I thank Allah every day for these teachings because they have kept me rooted. But I've never been a follower of anything. I take a whole pack of people with me, but no, I'm not a follower. So I'm not influenced easily by
right.
anyone.
You know why I say that, sisters, because you know when women who cheat, they also listen to their friends. You know, that's another example. You know, when they, you know, especially if that woman is loyal to that man, they always say, "Girl, what you being loyal to that fool for? Why don't you go out here to some, you know, to the lounge or whatnot?" And go along, right along with their so-called friends.
Well, that's not
well,
easy.
Yeah, that's
well,
the world.
You know, yeah, go
you
ahead.
Know,
go ahead, Sister Gidget.
Oh, no, I was just saying, you know, first of all, when you marry someone and they got a group of friends already that have questionable behavior, that's something you need to observe prior to marriage. That's something you need to observe within the courtship, the
right.
company that she keeps, because, you know, birds of a feather flock together.
Flock together.
So if all of your courtship mates, friends, are strippers, I don't think you need to marry her.
That's right.
I don't think you need to consider her. You know, we have to pride ourselves in the company that we keep. We are not to look down on anyone for what they believe or what their practices are. We have to live and let live, but we do not have to indulge or engage or necessarily even associate with those who are doing or involved in activities that go against what we believe in. So that is an observation that needs to be made prior to even courtship. You know, or even if you get in the courtship and you see she has all these loose friends, then, you know, that lets you know that that is a reflection of her character, because there's a commonality there amongst her and her friends that may not be favorable to you in her being your wife.
Can I ask a question?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Other than Sister Gidget admitting, and Sister Gidget admitting that she has, what Sister, you did admit that you've been on the other side of cheating before, that you cheated before, right?
Oh yes.
Can I ask? And so, if the sisters can, other sisters, can you answer that question? Have you ever cheated in a relationship in the past?
I was married. This is Sister Melanie. I was married. I have not cheated.
Okay.
No.
Sister, Sister Gidget, I want to ask you this. When you did do it, how long did it take you to forgive yourself? Because here's why I'm asking that question. Because I noticed that when a woman cheats, or when a man cheats on a woman, women have the more of a tendency to forgive the man and take the man back. Most of the time, men don't, or if he does, he gives the woman pretty hell, even if he allows her back in his life. I'm just being for real, but I want to know, how long did it take you, Sister Gidget, to forgive? Because we know that women have a tendency to beat themselves up way more than men do in that kind of in that particular area. So how long did it take you to forgive yourself for doing that?
Oh, not long at all. And I don't mean sound, you know. But once I put it like this, my circumstances were very unusual. I married a man that it was kind of a forced marriage. Just to make you understand what happened, just in a brief synopsis, my mother, when my father died, was supposed to have custody of me. She did not have custody of me. She took me to live with some boys that she had raised, and so therefore, when it all came to a head, in order for her not to be arrested for child abandonment and for them not to be charged with statutory rape, I was forced to marry one so that I would not be classified as a runaway, so that they would not be classified as statutory rapists, and so that she would not be classified as a neglectful parent. And so the man that I did marry, it was not a usual relationship, you know. As a matter of fact, he had a girlfriend when we got married. We were getting married just for, you know, for legal purposes, so to speak. But as we were married, he was a very spiritual brother. He later became an FOI, but he was a very spiritual brother, and he just decided that I'm married, I can't fornicate. Even though she's my wife, even though we don't have a physical relationship, you know, I'm still legally married and I have to forsake all others. So he broke up with his girlfriend. And then just as time went on, we kind of grew together. But it was a love out of obligation and not a natural sense of love. So when I became of age and start really to pursue that loving relationship, I didn't see that in my husband. Even though I was married to him for 22 years, I never saw him in that way. And it was a lot of times because I was so young when I married. I was 14, and he was more like a father, and he was very strict on me about my, you know, going to school, getting off the phone, not going anywhere, doing my homework. So I became looking at him like a father. And then as we grew into a physical relationship, he never let go of that entity and became my husband. You see what I'm saying? So when I grew up and started to, you know, really desire a relationship, I didn't see that in him, but I was so obligated and appreciative of what he had done for me, because he never violated me in any kind of way. I just wanted, you know, that kind of relationship. I couldn't get it with him, and I found it with somebody else, and that was just how that happened. It wasn't until I realized that, you know, I wasn't doing the right thing. And I say this, and I might be incorrect, but a law saw fit that man was tragically removed from my life. He was actually murdered on his way to come take me out for my birthday. And it was my husband who consoled me over that death, and he knew of that relationship. So you see how messed up that was? So it wasn't that I was just cheating because, you know, I could. It was a longing. It was an unfulfillment that I had in the relationship that I was in that caused that action. I didn't just freely go out there and do it because the opportunity presented itself, you know. And that's a very unusual circumstance. So as far as what goes on, normally when women are fulfilled and they go out there and cheat, I can't really say, but as a marriage counselor, it all boils down to the inability to communicate as well as a lack of fulfillment in a relationship. And so a lot of times women will stray. A lot of women will stray if they feel, or if their husbands have strayed. They think that they're getting back at them, but what they're doing is actually losing their virtue. And instead of letting the man go are resolving the relationship, making up a clear mind to forgive and forget, well, not forget, but forgive and move on, or either just resolve the relationship, they think they're getting back at somebody by cheating, but what you're doing, you're actually degrading yourself, because a man who will sleep with another man's wife is no good.
That's right.
That's right. True. A low down dirty dog.
Yes, sir.
All righty then, and then all righty.
No. Wow. That was decent.
Yes, sir.
You just hit it on the head.
But we still gonna find that FOI for you.
Oh, Brother Albert, don't, I put it like this, beloved. Don't worry about it. I'm good.
I got you.
Put it like this. If there's an FOI out there listening, if you're interested in calling me, hit me in my inbox.
No. You can't put it in the inbox. That's privacy. We got to know. We got to know. We do a lot. That's the protocol. We got to know what's going on. Somebody got to know something.
Okay.
That's right.
Inbox. Get Brother Albert in his inbox for right. Brother Roosevelt, since he tag team with Brother Albert. And if you're interested in Sister Patricia, Sister Melanie, put it in Brother Albert's inbox.
Or you're more than welcome to join us in Muhammad Smiles number 18 in Cleveland, Ohio. You can join us there as well if you're anywhere in the area. And with that being said,
okay, we have one more question, Brother Albert, on the line, and I think this is going to be the last question for the night. I put it like this, we have a few minutes, so next 2 minutes we will take questions for the audience, so please press one on your keypad or ask your question in the chat room. I'm going to open up the line for area code 773. Your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters.
Waalaikumsalam.
Yes, sir. I've been listening to this entire show. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm out of Chicago. My name is Terrell Muhammad. And this is my first time listening, and it's very interesting on what subject that you brothers and sisters have been talking about. Now, the sister who just finished talking, I don't remember your name, but you sound...
I'm Sister Gidja Muhammad.
Excuse me, sister. Excuse me, sister.
I'm sorry.
I didn't hear your name.
My name is Gidget.
Oh, Gidget Muhammad.
Yes.
Hello?
Sir? He's on microphone. Oh, my goodness.
He might have got disconnected, sister. He might have got disconnected.
Nah, I think he hung up.
Uh-oh.
You got your name.
Give me in my inbox.
Yep.
There you go.
That's right.
See, if you want to go to the inbox, he going to look that up. He Googling that right now, sister.
Mm. Ooh.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, maybe his call dropped. I don't know. If he comes back on the line. Okay, we have one more question. Area code 720. Your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Gidget. It's Sister Alicia from Jinder.
Walaikum salam.
Walaikum salam, sister.
I just, a couple things that you said earlier about if a brother's doing all that he can for a sister, and it's still not enough, I don't think that he should necessarily walk away until they've exhausted all the possibilities. We don't know how to mate. That's one of the sciences that we weren't taught. So I don't think that that you should just leave until you guys can figure out how to make it work if she has the desire to stay married to him.
Well, sister, I think that's what we were saying. We were saying that if she did not have the will, so if she didn't have the will, then it's nothing that anybody can do. She has to have that desire.
Okay, maybe I missed that. So I just
yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Alicia. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you for calling in.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so we're down to 6 minutes, And so we're going to let DT read his poem on the last 3 minutes of the show. So Brother Albert or Brother Roosevelt or Brother Albert or Brother Daniel, any last questions for the MGT?
I'm thankful. It's always a wonderful thing to be able to probe the minds of the wonderful MGT and get answers to help me become a better husband whenever I get married. So I'm just thankful that the sisters open, all of you sisters open yourselves up for the brothers to ask questions and get a little bit better understanding this and what it is that we can do as men to help be better husbands.
Thank you, sir. And you know what? The caller is back on the phone. I'm going to see if we can get him back. Brother Terrell, are you there? Brother Terrell? Okay, I guess he's there, but he doesn't want to say anything. Brother Terrell, your mic is live. Okay. I guess he doesn't want to say anything. So, okay, go ahead, brothers.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
You know, I'm thankful to Allah to be on this show again for the second time. And I truly appreciate the MGT as far as, you know, listening to Sister Melody, Sister Patricia, and Sister Gidget from their perspectives. And also myself personally, it's great to observe the different sisters and their ways and their actions, whoever be that wife for that man.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Brother Daniel. Brother Roosevelt, where you at, my dear brother?
I'm here, sister, and, you know, I want to thank you for having me on the show. I enjoyed the show. I'm going to continue being a listener and part of the show. And I learned, you know, I really wanted to listen and learn. So I was able to hear what you sisters was talking about, and it helped me and my growth as I take this journey. So I appreciate, you know, the answers that, you know, your sisters gave. And, you know, praise be to Allah. Thank Allah for the MGT.
Thank you.
Thank you
for coming on. And Brother Ivan?
Oh, I already commented. Yes, I just thank sisters for, it's always an honor to be in the presence. It's always an honor to be in the presence of the MGT in whatever capacity it is. So.
Okay, Brother Albert?
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum. I just sincerely want to thank, you know, Sister Patricia and Sister Melody for participating in this program with me, because I kind of pushed up on them at the last minute, and they came through, and I thank you for that. And Sister Gidget, I can never thank you enough for being the big sister that you are and the inspiration that you do have in regards to, you know, when you and I communicate. And it's just a pleasure to be able to participate in another show like this. And inshallah, we get some sort of resolution and we were able to help someone that was listening or someone that's on the panel in terms of making decisions as far as courtship is concerned, because courtship is not a fly-by-night thing. It's a serious situation. And I'm just appreciative. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Brother Albert, and thank you, Brother Daniel, and thank you, Brother
Ivan,
and thank you, Brother Roosevelt. I am so appreciative for your participation. I'm just appreciative for you for being an FOI. So all praises due to Allah. I can't thank Allah enough for either of you, and I really appreciate you participating in this show and even putting me on the spot. I didn't mind as much as I thought I would. And D.C. Clark, thank you for coming on, and come on and close us out with a poem.
Okay, before I say the poem, I want to thank each and every one of you for allowing me to be a part of this. It is really showing me and enlightening me to the nation. This poem that I have is called Oasis. There's an oasis in life that we all must cross, whether or not we intend to, for it is at this oasis that we discover all that we are to be or to do throughout our lives. And based upon this oasis is the basis of life, that which leads us on. It is the basis that gives us the courage to succeed, to survive, and to trust, that gives us the strength to overcome any adversity. It has been handed down to us from the Almighty. It is the oasis of life called love. And I thank you.
That is absolutely beautiful. All praises due to Allah. Thank you all so much. Our show is ended. And I thank you all again. I hope you join us next week. I don't know what the topic will be yet, but you all will see it on Facebook for sure. Thank you, Brother Albert. You are a gracious and most wonderful host. And thank you all for participating, Sister Patricia, Sister Melanie. All of you were very gracious. Thank you, DJ Black Caesar, for being my support during this whole process. I leave you as I came before you, and I greet you. Words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one
love. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Looking forward to seeing you right now.